better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title, the Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So Barry Trammell at the Oklahoman wrote an interesting article that I want to touch on just for a sec. Of the sports right now, because none are playing outside of, it's like UFC, Brazilian UFC. I mean, there's very...
Mexican football,
and there's like one or two other sports that are participating right now, but it's very rare that you'll see something on TV. And so, also coming up in the program, we'll talk about how Vegas is doing whatever it can to still get betting money in. And they're doing it in very interesting ways. They're betting on different things because, like, Tommy, March is huge for casinos.
Well, this is, you know, Vegas, one of my, I don't know if it's on my bucket list, one of the things I want to do someday is go to Vegas for the opening 4 days of March Madness, and I want to go to Vegas for a Super Bowl. And I have looked into hotel rooms and staying in Vegas and flights and all that stuff for this first 4 days of March, and it's packed. I mean, rates are high for rooms. You know, sports books, you got to get a reservation to sit in a sports book to watch the games.
It's like $100 for all-you-can-eat buffet and massive TV.
One of my favorite places to go, and it's a great guys' weekend. This is the, you know, where four, five, six guys get together and, you know, go get out there on Thursday morning and get after it. And it would be such a great trip. Yeah, I mean, it's a busy time in Vegas. I never thought we'd live to see the day they were shutting the doors to casinos. Mm-hmm. And it's happening right here in our areas, whether you're in Northwest Arkansas, whether you're in the River Valley, whether you're in Hot Springs, we're seeing casinos close their doors during this pandemic. Something, I mean, I didn't even know they had locks on the doors. You know, that they had a way to actually lock the doors at casinos, but they apparently they do. You know, and Vegas has got, I know it started with the MGM and it may have went from there. But you're right. Vegas, this is a huge part of their income.
Correct.
And, I mean, no one's going to cry for a casino losing money. But, you know, why do people go to Vegas? For the casinos, for the eats, for all the fun stuff. And they're suffering right now along with most of America.
So I made it pretty clear, and I get railed from this from friends that I don't really have a lot of desire to go to Vegas, but that's because
you've never been to Vegas.
That trip, yeah, it doesn't. There's a bunch of other places in the United States,
but
outside.
You're not a big gambler.
I used to be, and I love to talk about it. I know
you gamble in sports, but I mean you're not a big. You don't go to the craps table. You don't go to the card. You don't go play poker. There's only so much you can do in Vegas at a sports book. Depending on the time of the year you're there. Now, this is prime time coming up later this week, typically, for sports books in Vegas.
And just to be in the atmosphere in general, like you're talking about.
It's awesome. Yeah. You go to the Bellagio, and that's not even one of the newest there, but I think their sports book is like the best because it's got all this rich, like, I don't know if it's mahogany wood or whatever, but it's just so well done. And then they got these big overstuffed leather chairs you sit out, and they got these screens right there. So if you're betting on the horses, that's easy. I mean, and they'll bring you drinks. I mean, the Bellagio Sportsbook's like my favorite place to go in Vegas.
And our buddy Aaron Torres, who works over at Fox Sports Radio, that you can hear on halftime every Friday at 12:30, he did it, I believe, last year and had a big event out there where I think it was like $85 or $100 for an all-you-can-eat buffet, and I think you got all-inclusive drinks too. And
sign me up. Well, yeah, they're always all-inclusive at a casino.
And you're just sitting out there eating and drinking, watching March Madness, which is what I assume many of you would like to do starting tonight, as the first four would have started tonight and dated, but we're not getting that.
If Torres does that deal next year, we ought to go.
I think he could hook us up. I think that. See, that would be the Vegas aspect that I'd want to go. I don't have a lot of desire, Tommy, to just go gamble and just hang out and spend way too much. Like, for example, the fantasy football trip. I kind of used, hey guys, I have to work, so I can't go to this Vegas fantasy football trip. All those idiots spent over $1,000 last year in a weekend. Like, it's not like we're, now some of my friends make good money, but these guys, like, they don't have budgets where they can just be blowing over a grand every single
day. The millennial
week.
Way.
Yeah, that's not my way. My dad, or my uncle, excuse me, he always refers to Dallas kids as the $60,000 millionaire, where you just want to have the appearance of all this money I make. I have to act like I'm doing that. And I'm like, I've never had...
What do you call the $60,000 millionaire?
Yeah, that's what he loves to call it. Because, I mean, so you obviously in Dallas, Texas, the cost of living and everything involved down there is expensive, but all these Arkansas kids and other, they want to act like and do everything their friends and some of their constituents do, so they feel like they have to be involved with everything. They're just racking up this debt. Most of my friends are not in that category. I hope all my friends are not.
I know people in your category, in your age category, age group, probably a better way to put it, that have amassed thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of debt just going to weddings. You know, because they'll have 2, 3, 4 friends getting married in a year, 18-month time, and they're all at these exotic locations. Got to go to the Caribbean, got to go to Turks and Caicos, got to go to Cancun, got to go all these places. Well, when you get invited to these weddings, well, I got to go, you know. My daughter's the same way. She thinks she has to go to all these things. Well, it's expensive.
Pay for it, then.
Do you have friends that do that?
So I remember, Tommy, when my sister told my dad.
It's just nuts.
She was like, I think we're going to have a destination wedding. And my dad laughed in her face. I was like, and he just laughed in her face. Now, it's my dad and it's my stepsister, and that was funny. But I was laughing because I was there when she said that. And it was highly entertaining because there's nothing wrong with the destination wedding. For those who have gone.
I had one 16 years ago today.
If you can afford it and if you want to make it smaller, if you want to have it close friends and close family, I understand that. But like for... If you're trying to blow it out and you're trying to go to all these things, like I do have some weddings coming up, but they're all, one's in Memphis, one's going to be in Lamar. Mr. McCutcheon, I know you're a listener on the show. You're
Lamar, Arkansas.
Your daughter's
there's
marrying,
a destination wedding for you. Johnson County. Yes, sir.
Your daughter's marrying a wonderful young man who I try to get to go out with us a lot, and Teague never wants to go out. So you're very lucky that you're going to have a great son-in-law, and then one in Memphis as well. So
let me call an audible here.
Okay.
Since we got this text line, let's get this thing going. 877-377-6966. Talking about destination weddings. What's your destination sports deal? Because I think this is we're going to get into a lot of these type of topics over the next months ahead of us. I would love to be, and I did a destination wedding 16 years ago today. Today is my wedding anniversary. 16 years ago today, we were married. And
Rivera,
south of Cancun. Okay. Mayan Riviera. Playa del Carmen. So we did that, but it was just the two of us. We didn't force any of our, it was both of our second marriages. Our parents weren't there. You know, we were just there by ourselves. Met some friends there, and they were, you know, because I'm telling you, the whole wedding thing in Mexico is a racket as far as it's $25. They told us it was going to be $25 extra. Because you had to have 4 witnesses to sign your marriage certificate. And they said, "Well, who's in your wedding party that you can have come with you and sign the?" Well, we got some people available that can sign for $25 each.
So was it just you two?
Just us two. Okay. So we made some friends there, like you do on vacation. We invited them to our wedding, and
what movies?
And saved $100. So
that's in a movie where they do a similar type of thing.
So here's my question, and we're already getting some text on this. Let me ask it again. What would be the sporting destination trip? Is that the right way to phrase this? Like, for me, I want to go to Vegas for the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament. I want to go to Vegas during a Super Bowl. I want to go to that Arkansas-Notre Dame game that hopefully still happens later.
So you're talking
year.
About an actual...
I'm talking about an event, like an game. Annual event.
Okay, but an actual game. You're not talking about where to watch it.
Like, for some people, going to the Masters, which is a destination trip, because it's not just about going to the competition. It's about going to the city. You don't go to Vegas just to go watch games. You're not even going there for a damn game.
Just all encompassing.
Yeah.
You want the whole nine yards.
So maybe you want to go to the Open Championship in golf when it's at St. Andrews. Maybe you want to go to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Maybe you want to go to Wimbledon.
I like to go to the Waste Management Open. Down there in Phoenix.
you know.
And then the Ryder Cup, which, did you get tickets to that, by the way?
The Ryder Cup? No. I sat at my dadgum computer for 2 hours one day, did nothing. Absolutely wasted company time for 2 hours, waiting in line to buy tickets online, and they said, no, you're out.
Is that what all that cursing was about that day?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure.
I was doing it. My brother was at his desk doing it, because that is somewhere down my list of things to do. I've been to the Masters. I have not been to a U.S. Open, but I'm a golf guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, at or near the top of my list is Vegas, first 4 days of the NCAA tournament.
I think that's a
the right group of guys.
Am I on that list?
Yeah, you can go.
Okay.
We got to figure out, here's what we got to do.
Can we expense it?
Like, good, you're on the right track. Here's what we got to do as a good radio man. We got to get this thing sponsored. We got to get an advertiser to sponsor this trip. We got to get someone out there to be willing to put up with us for a few days and do the show live from there. Now, I've done the show live from Vegas about a year ago when I was at a convention. It's early in the morning out there.
Mm-hmm.
But by golly, if we can get someone to sponsor, yeah, we expense it.
I remember
it's work.
I remember I remember when you did that for the RAB show. That's...
Yeah, I was up at, like, because you're on the air at 4 a.m. I was up at 3:30 in my room. Fortunately, I was by myself doing the radio show from 4 till 7. And I was done at 7 a.m. I had to, at 9 o'clock, I had to go be at all these meetings all day, but, you know,
early. Justin Van Buren says the U.S. Olympics. I think that'd be
a good one.
A good one.
When's the last time Olympics, it wasn't Lake Placid the last time it was here, right?
That's Salt Lake City.
No, Atlanta.
Okay. Atlanta. I don't know the historical.
Well, you've had it in L.A. in 84.
Okay, so.
And then when was it? It was at 96 it was in Atlanta?
96 and then, like, early 2000s, it was Salt Lake City.
Well, that was for the winter. That's when they used to do. Yeah, that was Winter Olympics. Summer Olympics, 84 LA, 96 Atlanta. It's the last two I remember.
I would love to see the World Cup here. In fact, didn't in 2024?
The World Cup was here. What year was that?
96, maybe?
Yeah, they played some games in the old Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
It's 2026 FIFA World Cup. I thought the U.S. was supposed to get it in 2026.
Weren't they going to split it with Canada or something?
Yeah, it's North America. So it'll be Canada, it'll be Mexico, and then it'll be the United States. So I think that would be really fun. Josh and Harrison says Daytona 500. I'm not a NASCAR guy, but I think that would be something that you'd want to cross off the bucket list.
I've driven by the Daytona International Speedway. And I wanted to go in bad. I've only been to one. Have y'all ever been to a NASCAR race? Jenkins, you seem like you're in the WWE, so you seem like a NASCAR guy too.
Family loves that. I've personally never been to a race before.
I've been to one. Rheem, who is a local manufacturer of air conditioners and those type of hot water heaters, and anyway, they are into the NASCAR game. They sponsor cars, and a guy named Ed Ranicheski used to work there. And he was involved in the race. You know, they were sponsors here on the morning show back. I mean, I'm going back 10 plus years now. And he took me to a race because I'd never been to a race. He invited me down to Texas Motor Speedway. And so my first experience with this, I mean, we got nothing but time. I can tell stories, right?
Yeah.
Got nothing but time. I'm in the Rheem suite at the finish line because they're sponsoring some guy named Clint Bowyer, who at the time no one had heard of. And there was two cars they were sponsoring.
Mm-hmm.
And Clint Bowyer was an up-and-comer at that time. So I'm in the suite. I mean, like, Mike Joy, who was doing the TV broadcast, came by and spent 30 minutes and gave us a pre-race deal. I mean, they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner for us. We went into the pits. We did everything. We got the Grand Tour. That was my first experience with NASCAR. I mean, it was living the high life. Well, one of the things we could do, we had seats down below and the headphones and all those things to go down. I went down there, and the funniest thing was there was this group of people. This is why NASCAR is so fun. There was this group of people, and they were clearly Dale Jr. fans. And every time Jeff Gordon would come by, these 20 or 30 people would stand up, and I mean double birding, fingers, you know, giving the middle finger salute. Every time, and you didn't figure it out until you watched them for a little bit.
Yeah.
But every time Gordon would come by... They all stood up in unison as double birded him. And then every time Junior came by, they got up and they were you know, whooping it up.
Is that a big rivalry? Was that a big rivalry?
They just hated Jeff Gordon. And I mean, every time. I mean, they did this for, I was probably sitting there 40 laps. They did it 40 times. That's one of the great things about NASCAR is just the watching the fans and how they love and hate certain drivers. So NASCAR and a Daytona 500 would have to be on a lot of people's list.
Zach from Ozark says he goes to Talladega every spring for the and fall race. There's no environment like a NASCAR race.
Talladega is a great one.
Justin Van Buren mentions the SEC tournament and then the College World Series. He really enjoyed going to that.
Jordan, College World Series is great. It was better at the old ballpark that they've torn down now. I got to go to one there at Rosenblatt.
What was that? Yeah, Rosenblatt. Okay.
I went to one when Arkansas was there in 09? Yeah, 09. Went, and that was my first taste of going to Omaha. That was awesome. And then I've been there. I went back 12 and 15. 15, I was there for that Arkansas short-lived trip.
Yeah, I went there for 15 when I was a sophomore, potentially. That was a lot of fun. It's just, and again, baseball is probably third or fourth on the pecking order for me, but it's when you're in that culture, what you could just feel, you can feel certain aspects of that, which is pretty cool.
Hey, Burton Pools and Spas is ready for hot tub season, and the Outdoor Living Expo is coming up in Northwest Arkansas. Right now, Hot Spring Spas have instant rebates up to $3,000 or 0% financing for up to 36 months with your approved credit. Hey, turn your backyard into an oasis. You're going to have some time on your hands, so call Burton Pools and Spas, and don't miss out on all these rebates going on right now. Up to $3,000 or 0% financing for 36 months on Hot Spring Spas with Burton Pools and Spas. That's Burton Pools and Spas in Springdale and in Fort Smith. Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun.
So if you had to single out an SEC football school that you'd most want to attend, I think you'd much rather attend in 2010, 2011 when Arkansas was actually competitive on the football field and you had a chance to actually win. Is there a school that you think stands out to most that you'd want to go see a game
at?
Correct.
Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I was going to say LSU.
I think it's
now I would fear
it's
a little
chalk
bit
here on the Morning Rush when it comes to that.
I'd fear a little bit for my life. In fact, this might be the one time I just wear a plain generic white shirt. I couldn't wear that ugly ass purple. Could not do that. But
you could wear white and get away with it.
I'm going to tell you, if you wear Razorback stuff in there,
you're going to be soft like that?
Okay, next time Clay's on, ask him about getting hit in the head with a whiskey bottle.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, they do not take any mercy on opposing fans there.
I think Clay shared that story in the Morning Rush.
Yeah, you want to be careful. Clay even has suggested if you go to games there, just be a little bit generic.
I think
I've got a buddy that went the last time, time before last Arkansas played down there. And they said even amongst Arkansas fans, and they were a little fearful of cheering for the Hogs openly.
Wow. I think one of the most vivid images and videos that stands out to me is the 2015 season. Jared Cornelius takes that reverse to the house, and LSU fans start to leave. And you see these two Arkansas fans that ESPN panned to, or SEC Network, one of the two, they panned to in the video, and they're holding up their hands like, where y'all going?
Yeah.
Enjoy the party. Just like extremely taunting and stuff. But yeah, I think I do remember Clay sharing that story of getting hit in the head in the whiskey. But Hog Slop, for those who have ever listened to the show or halftime, Hog Slop from Baton Rouge occasionally calls in. And he is a guy that I grew up with and now lives down there. And he said, and this is a diehard Arkansas fan to his core, bleeds Razorback red. But Tommy, he says there is nothing that compares to an atmosphere on Saturday night in Death Valley. And that, and honestly, the first time he told me that, he said it pained him to say that. But I'm telling you.
Especially when they're good. Now, if LSU's no good, now this last year would have been great. You know, this next year, I don't know how good they're going to be or not be.
I think they're going to take a major drop off.
Yeah, well, they won the national title. They're going to have a drop off.
And they lost so many dudes. And I'm forgetting. I always forget if it's Chase or Jefferson that's back. One of those guys is gone. You lost Allaire. You lost Chase on. You lost, obviously, Joe Burrow. You lost Joe Brady. You lost Dave Aranda. I mean, you lost so many, both coordinators and players. Do you know the amount of pressure that's going to be on Miles Brennan next year to take up that mantle after what Joe Burrow just did, putting up one of the best single season ever in the history, not only of LSU football, but college football itself. I mean, he he is being described as one of the best, similar to Cam Newton, having one of the best single seasons ever in the history of the sport.
Yep.
You think Brennan's going to be able to just, oh, without new OC, I'm just going to walk right in and get in? No. And they just, okay, Steve Insminger is the OC, and their passing game coordinator that just hired is Scott Linehan?
Yes, I think
that's
right.
Who that is. Yeah. I believe that's correct, in the old Dallas Cowboy OC. So I don't know if it's like, I don't know if they're about to go 7-5, but I think 9-3, 8-4 is more of the, even though they get Bam at home, I think that's closer where they're going to end up. But that's definitely a place that I'd want to go down to for sure.
I've been to Knoxville. That's a neat place because it's Neyland Stadium. Went there when Hogs won when Bielema was coach after trailing 14-0. That was really cool. But I think Baton Rouge for atmosphere, and let's face it, we're all about the food. Where's the food going to be the best?
Gumbo.
Yeah.
See, I would feel like Ole Miss would be fun too.
The Grove. I think the Grove's a little overrated.
Do you?
See, I've never been. I say that in full disclosure, I hadn't been there, but it looks cool, but I don't think it's not intimidating and as imposing as what we know Death Valley can be.
So I think it just depends on kind of what you like. LSU, outside of LSU, is more of like everyday people person. We know how like the level of preppiness the Grove is, and the school itself.
Club.
And that's the best way to describe it. And
A country club where Baton Rouge. Now I've heard that people are very friendly in Baton Rouge. They'll open their tailgates
before the game. Correct.
But I'm telling you, it's the wrong side of town inside the stadium.
I had
you are on the wrong side of the tracks once you get in there.
I had several listeners of the Morning Rush that went down there this past year, and they got free beer, they got free gumbo, they got free whatever.
Very
but
good.
But the key, like you said, the key phrase.
Well,
before the game.
But they felt sorry for Arkansas. If they would have thought Arkansas was a 2-point dog or a 2-point favorite, or it was expected to be a close game, I don't know how friendly they would have been before the game. Now, maybe they would have been, but I don't think they're real friendly to Alabama fans before that game. They felt sorry for us.
Well,
come on in here and have your last supper before we execute you in this game tonight. You know.
So maybe if Arkansas's competitive next year in 3 years when they go back to Death Valley, maybe you and I can take a trip down there. I'll take you out to Fred's that night. We can go to Fred's that night. We'll have to wait a little bit, but you'll be out of sorts because of what you'll see that night. I think we'll have
out
fun.
Out of sorts.
Yeah. I think you'll have
I'll be out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that's probably the better way to put it.
Meaning I'll be out past 10 o'clock at night.
apparently they go to the break of dawn, Tommy. Can you
hear
the
break
that?
Of dawn? No, I don't know. Well, I'm up every morning at the break of dawn, so.
Well, if we're going to SEC Media Days together, you're going to have to shape up. You're going to have to condition yourself.
I hope they have SEC Media Days.
Me too.
Everything's in question right now.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Arkansas basketball, for the most part, I think, from our listeners, and I don't know if I can pinpoint a percentage of what you guys think it's on the right track, but I want to play you this video real quick. Following the Vanderbilt win, the emotions that are flowing out of Eric Musselman, because he truly believed that they could go in and win this tournament, and they weren't given the opportunity.
If you haven't seen this video, Ty's getting ready to play the audio. I believe this was taken the following morning, right? They were meeting as a team, and this was when they had announced that this tournament was over.
Correct.
So this was a team meeting following the announcement from Greg Sankey in the league office that SEC tournament is over and likely the season is over.
And I saw this from who was writing about this with Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum was very angry and frustrated in Mark Emmert and the NCAA's handling because whether it was Greg Sankey, whether it was the coaches, whether it was the schools, no one really knew like what was going on at the time. And I get you have to let a number of different people know, but I would think you'd want to let the conference commissioners know.
Well, I mean, Sankey talked about this with Feinbaum, he was on with Dari Noka and those guys. I mean, he did a few interviews, did one with Carl Ravitch, and it was brought up in one of those. He found out, as commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, he found out right along with the rest of us with a Twitter update.
No,
just like
no notice
when Hunter Yurecek was on our program last week. He said, you know, I get off the plane coming back from Nashville and find out, you know, the championships are canceled.
And since he has been here since December of 2017, that's correct, right? Yeah, December 2017.
Yeah.
Have you seen him get visibly frustrated or angry or any up and downs for the most part? Well,
there was that one photo of him in that Razorback jacket following one of Chad Morris's many losses where he looked like he had been on about a five-day bender.
Yeah.
So I'd say that might be. There was probably several moments of frustration with Chad Morris.
But Typically it's not public. Typically you haven't seen that. But you heard that.
You remember that photo I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's sitting in the back of the room.
He's just, I don't remember if that was in the media room or close to the media room, but someone took a picture of him.
That was exactly how all of us felt, Hunter.
It was bad. It was absolutely, but he's been pretty steady Eddie. Like, I'm going to keep the composure, and that's what you have to do as an athletic director.
Yeah,
but
that's what you're supposed to do.
You can tell, like, he, Greg Sankey, not only them, but outside of this conference, were angry without things in it. And Eric Musselman and them were just like, they found out, and they're just like, all right, well the tournament's over.
I have a phrase. I think y'all have heard me use this many times. I use this a lot in other walks of life. People don't get mad until they don't get what they expected. What I mean by that, I don't think Greg Sankey and Hunter Yurecek were basically so mad at the decision, but they expected to be notified
prior to
and had proper communication. And that was where they get angry. People get angry when they don't get what they expect. If you expect to have to pay in on your taxes next month, if you're expecting to have to write the government a check for a grand, well, if you already know it's coming, you're not going to be so mad when you write the check. It's when your accountant calls you on the 13th and says, hey, got your taxes done, you owe a grand, and you were expecting a refund. Well, now I'm mad.
Yeah.
So when you get what you expect in life, you don't get upset. Greg Sankey, Hunter Yurecek, the ADs around the league, the people that lead these conferences and schools didn't get what they expected. They expected the NCAA to give them a heads up so they could talk to their coaches, talk to their athletes, handle it in the right. Now, the NCAA chose not to do that because they wanted to get the information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they bypassed some proper steps. So, yeah, they're angry because they didn't get what they expected.
So we've talked about being a little angered, a little frustrated. Well, there's obviously another emotion that went on this past week, and that's sadness. And this is what Eric Musselman and his team experienced the Thursday following and the cancellation of the SEC tournament.
You know, you guys didn't choose me. You know, I got hired. You guys set a first-year culture. You guys played so hard, and it was a really, really successful year. I really thought we could win this tournament. I really did, my heart and soul. It's been an awesome year. And again, you guys set the foundation for us for how we want to play and what we want to be in the future. You know, that first speech I gave you was, you know, at the end of the regular season, it's going to come down to one basket on seeding. It's going to come to one basket on an NCAA tournament bid. Rude and I who study those numbers, like, we, you know, if we would have won tonight, we probably would have been in. I just feel bad for you guys. So it's not fair. You know, you guys who sacrificed.
So you could tell, and if you didn't pick up on the very end, and you need to go watch the video, it's on the Razorback Basketball Twitter account. We've also posted it on our show rundown at Hit That Line AR. He's crying. And you can tell when something's faked or not. That looked about as real and raw and genuine as it gets. Yeah. So what you take away from the season, we've reflected on it a little bit and we can kind of go back to that, but you're excited about the foundation that's been built so far with this Arkansas basketball team.
When you pour yourself into something and have it taken away from you in a way that you feel is it's not fair or equitable or not at your own doing, it's tough. I mean, I think there's a lot of us that own or operate businesses right now that, you know, I certainly know I'm dealing with that kind of emotion where it just feels like what's going on right now, no fault of ours, but it's affecting our business here. It's affecting our friends and our clients and our partners that advertise with us, their businesses here.
With nothing that we can control.
With nothing that we can do about it. That's what Eric Musselman's dealing with. Because of all of this, and we're all in this big boat together, and it's affecting all of us in a different way. And for him, they poured their soul into it. Just like many of you out there have poured your soul into your business or the business you operate. You know, same thing. I mean, it's emotional for a lot of people right now because you feel so helpless because there's nothing you can do. There's not one more bit of work you can do to change the situation. And that's where Musselman's at. And it does feel unfair because it is unfair. It feels that way because it is that way.
Because it would be one thing if they lost to South Carolina and then they were knocked out. There would still be an emotional aspect that was tied within his players and not getting to play with and Jimmy and Adrian and stuff. But the fact that it was taken away from you, didn't even get a chance to compete, that's what stings.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
We mentioned it last segment. We just mentioned again, Tom Brady announced he's no longer going to be a New England Patriot. And for a guy that's been here as long as he has, for 20 years. And
he's defined the game for more than a decade.
This is the biggest sports news that we've had in quite some time. I say it's really Rudy Gobert contracting the coronavirus was massive. Now, Brady's name is a lot bigger than Gobert, but this is massive news. And we talked about how the NFL and Barry Trammell's right on the money. They're going to get the majority of the media coverage. Tommy, that's only going to be amplified because of this news that Tom Brady broke this morning.
Well, and right now, the NFL's off-season news is kind of the only sporting news. And a lot of national shows, and to some degree, we'll shift a bit more of our coverage. But this, it wouldn't matter what was going on. If we were getting ready to have the play-in games in Dayton coming up, and Arkansas was one of them, this would dominate the news cycle, even if the sports cycle was normal. Because Tom Brady, you're in my generation. I'm 44 years old. You grew up, you never thought you'd see anyone better than Montana. And he's been better than Montana. I mean,
does that hurt you as a older generation guy to say that?
No, I mean, because you always want to live in the era of greatness. You know, if Montana was considered the greatest of all time and Tom Brady hadn't happened, wouldn't you feel cheated that you didn't live in that era? You always want to live in the era of the greatest to ever do something. You can argue whether it was Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods in golf. I got to see some of Nicklaus at the tail end. I got to see the 86 Masters. I got to see all of Tiger Woods.
Didn't Nicklaus have like 18 second place finishes too or something absurd on top of
the... I think it was 19 second place finishes.
See, that's
on top of the 18 that he won.
That's insane to me, the fact that he finished second that many times.
We all want to live in the era of greatness. We got to see Jordan. You can argue LeBron.
Well, some of us got to see Jordan.
You didn't see Jordan?
I mean, I was three.
Okay.
On his last ship. And I don't count the Wizards years as seeing Jordan.
Okay, so you didn't see Jordan in his prime. Don't you feel cheated?
100%, yeah.
Because you just weren't born at that time. So we've all gotten to see Brady. I don't love Brady, hate Brady, hate the Patriots, think they're cheaters, don't like Belichick. There's just not much argument. He's the greatest quarterback of all time and maybe the greatest football player of all time. There just isn't much argument against that. So, love him, hate him, whatever. I'm thankful we got to witness greatness in the era of our lifetime. Because you don't want to read about the greats. You want to see them. And we've gotten to see them.
And as a young guy, the older listeners to this program might think that I would flock towards more of my generation top talent. But I'm a Jordan over LeBron every day of the week guy. I'm a huge 80s, 90s NBA. Like, I actually tend to...
You even dress like you're from the 80s.
Yeah. So. No, I'm sporting my late grandfather's pullover right now from Vail, I tend to side with kind of the older generation because I think a lot of the sports from years past are better than what we see today. Now, I appreciate certain aspects, like you're saying. You love... sometimes we have to sit back and appreciate the greatness as far as sports goes that are displayed in front of us. And there's no denying that LeBron James... is incredible. Is he better than Jordan? I don't believe so. Don't want to get in that conversation now, but we are getting to see Tom Brady, and we'll see if he can continue that era over to another football team because he's been in Boston so long.
I mean, for many running backs, Jim Brown's still considered to be the greatest running back of all time, right? For many.
Some would say Barry Sanders, him.
Some would say Barry Sanders. I got to watch him. Some would say Walter Payton, Sweetness. You know, and there that may be a sentimental conversation. Cowboy fans around here would say Emmitt Smith. Wouldn't you, Jenkins?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Emmitt Smith was the greatest of all time. So, I mean, but I never saw Jim Brown. So, Phil cheated. So, we all got to see, love him or hate him, got to see Brady. And we'll continue to see him somewhere. We just know it's not going to be in New England.
Well, I don't think it's too far-fetched. He's not in his prime, per se. But teams are going to be lining up to get him.
Listen.
Because he's still a good quality quarterback.
Thank you. He may not be the best quarterback in the league. He may not be number one anymore. But is he still top five? Top six?
Yeah.
Seven? How far do I need to go down the list?
I'd say top five.
Can you name five better quarterbacks in the league than him right now?
You can't. I mean,
he had his worst year statistically that he's had since like his rookie season or something. It just depends on if you think he's got any gas left in the tank.
Look at what you put around.
Because
look at what the Patriots had around him.
Tom Brady, while he may not be the elite Tom Brady we all respect, he's still better than most. And that's the point to this whole deal is, all right, New England may be ready to move on, or maybe he's ready to move on from New England, or it's a mutual thing.
Ian Clarksville brings up, what if he's going to retire?
Still better than most.
What if he's going to retire? Would that just shock you?
Tom Brady's not wired that way, and what I mean, he's not going to go out the way their season ended.
And he's consistently said he wants to play till he's 45, and he's 42 right now, so he's still got, apparently, and I don't know what kind of gas, I don't know if you got like an electric car that you can go for the next 40 years, but he at least has some willpower left in the
tank. Well, you know, this TB12 and this whole thing, and I don't think when you read, I hadn't read his book, but we know the highlights of this plant-based diet.
Talking about that as I drink a Dr. Dazzle here on the
air. Yeah, those have been in the fridge since before Christmas.
They don't expire, do they?
Don't worry. They never tasted good to begin with.
You uncracked it. You're good.
But a lot of what Tom Brady is able to do now at his age, and I say at his age because we're near the same age, is been based on the diet he has been disciplined to eat, the workout regimen he's been disciplined enough to do. He is the essence of self-discipline. And that's why most of us don't accomplish and fall short of our expectations. We just don't have the discipline to follow through.
Yeah, the willpower.
I'm case example number one right here. Like Doritos more than like the gym. Thank you.
You know what I found? So I didn't work out really. Like in high school, I just kind of watched my teammates work out, and I would just converse and talk a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that's probably surprises you've seen as built as I am now. College. Yeah. My workout was
playing. They say you're ripped.
Yeah. College, my workout was playing basketball. Now, I saw a picture of me the other day, and I was chunky. And I was like, ugh, I'm so glad I'm not back to that because I was drinking like two Dr. Thunders a day and just eating an absurd amount of food.
And now it's Dr. Dazzle.
Yeah. And I don't typically drink
Dr.
sodas.
Dr. Dazzle.
And I'm pretty good. And I don't drink the extra calories that are consumed with alcohol during the week.
Is that a diet Dr. Dazzle?
It's not a diet Dr. Dazzle. It's just a Dr. D. But
for the record, folks, this is when Ty was asked to bring drinks to the Christmas potluck. He brought, that's off-brand. That's the generic.
I brought Sprite, Diet Coke, and
no,
Dr. Dazzle.
He brought Dr. Dazzle to the party.
Those are the four I brought. So you can.
That's right, ladies. He's available for you today.
Yeah. So, but no.
Dr. Dazzle. Maybe that's your new nickname. Dr. Dazzle.
Dr. Dazzle. What are we talking about? Me working out. So, and Skip, we'll get
that's
you
a
just
a short conversation.
Yeah, it's not long, but. Since you were talking about working out and stuff, I every time that I go to the gym, I set forth what I'm going to do, and I never achieve it fully. Like, I always decide I'll just dip out a minute. Or, I did this. Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat
the willpower.
I'm going to eat this tonight. So I always fall short of my goal at the gym. Let's go to the
I've been known to eat cheeseburgers on the treadmill. So, I mean, you know, the good thing about a treadmill is if you run on the treadmill, your cigarette won't go out. That's the good thing about a treadmill. Hey, spring camping season's almost here. And the folks at Razorback, you run outside, your cigarette will go out every time. You run on a treadmill, you can still, anyway. Folks at Razorback Camper Sales are here and ready for you. Full selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, and pop-ups. Razorback Camper Sales also offers full prep and setup at no extra cost. And when you leave their lot, you can start camping immediately. you're looking for some social distancing, camping is the way to go right now. You can socially distance yourself from a lot of folks. You and your family can get out and have a great time. I know a lot of plans have changed. Change your plans and go to Razorback Camper Sales, the oldest family-owned RV dealer in the state. They've been in business for more than 50 years. Find out why their customers are happy campers at Razorback Camper Sales. Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs and online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Let's go to the phone lines. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Skip in Bella Vista wants to touch on this Tom Brady news. Skip, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, guys. You know, I think Tom Brady is, it's not like, you know, remember when Brett Favre did this and Joe Montana did this. They were both at the top of their game and helped teams to the finals. This guy's not going to be able to do that. Last year they went to a two-step drop because he's getting old, and he is an old guy, and Tennessee thinks Tannehill's better than he is. And, I mean, he's got quarterbacks better than him. There's a lot of them. I look at Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. You know, all those guys are a lot better than he is at this point in his career.
Yeah, but how many starting quarterbacks in the league right now are better than Brady right now?
About 15.
I don't think the number's
all right, high. Skip, let's hear those then. If you know them off the top
of your head. I don't know. On top of my head, I gave you four there. Let's see who else we got. Patrick Mahomes. Do you not agree he's not better than Tom Brady?
Yeah. Oh. Mahomes, Dak Prescott would be. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, right? I mean, is Mahomes the best quarterback in the league? I think we'd all say that. Prescott's somewhere in the top three or four, just depending on your perspective.
How about the quarterback, what's his name down in Houston?
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's better. Stafford's better. You know, I mean, there's not that.
I mean, I'm just saying.
He's not that good. He was the greatest quarterback. He was the greatest quarterback. He's not now.
My point is, there are about four or five that are definitely better. Then you get past that, it's a matter of opinion, and it's not so cut and dried. And Tom Brady's still better than most of the league. You said 15th. I think that's stretching it a bit. But the point is, you know, he's still better than 20-something quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, but what if you have a choice between signing Tom Brady or drafting, say, Fromm or maybe Hurts, what are you going to do?
Depends on how many tickets I need to sell as the owner and GM. Because Tom Brady puts butts in seats. The guy you're drafting,
that does. I mean, you know,
that could be part of someone's equation, whether it's a team like Las Vegas that's going to be moving into a city that with a very uncertain times, considering what we're facing ahead. I mean, there are franchises that need to sell more tickets.
And they just picked up Mariota, so I don't think they'd be in the quarterback market at this point. But it depends, Skip. It depends on what you're trying to do. Like, do you think he's done? You don't think he has a Peyton Manning-esque type year in him where he can kind of revive himself a little bit? And I know there's a big age difference when Peyton did it, and obviously he was coming off that neck injury, but you think, basically it sounds like on your remarks that he's done. You've given up on Tom Brady competing for another Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, once he lost that his tight end, Grabowski, last year, that took a lot out of his game.
Correct.
I mean, that tight end retired. That hurt him bad.
It did.
That was his go-to guy, you know. And I think that's one of the big reasons he wants to leave.
Yeah, he definitely had a connection. He had a connection with Gronk. And I Skip, appreciate the call, man. I think when you also look, like, their wide receivers last year, Julian Edelman, you had Dorsett, you had the N'Keal Henry out of Arizona State, their first-round draft pick. I'm trying to think if there's a name or two that I'm missing, but it's not like, and the help aspect, you can a lot of quarterbacks can complain about that, but it's not like they were just loaded up at wide receiver last year.
And think about this. Think about what your choices are, because it's not about money for Brady, but it's always about money for anybody. Tony Romo just got, $17 million to be the highest paid analyst ever at CBS.
And ESPN was trying to pay Peyton $18 to get him in the broadcast booth.
What would Tom Brady get? 25? What would a network pay if Tom Brady, ESPN, what would ESPN pay for him to be the analyst on Monday Night Football? What would NBC pay? And sorry, Chris Collinsworth, you're out. What would they do to put? That's my point. he wants to play, and he's going to get 25 to 30 million, somewhere in that range, right? If Dak's getting 33, and so he's not going to get as much as some of these young guys.
Well, I think he wants the reason, like he could if he wanted to, but right. The reasoning behind
he wants
him
pieces
doing it,
around it.
Yeah.
My point is, he could make almost as much money being, because they would line up, every network would line up to get Tom Brady to be a analyst on their broadcast, right? He immediately becomes the number one analyst at probably anywhere but CBS.
Mm-hmm.
He could make almost as much money doing that, but he would rather play. And so I'm just saying, that's where he's at this point, is this television market's changed to the point he could make as much money in the booth.
But is that his personality, do you think? And I
don't know.
And that's
He's Tom Brady. We would watch. He's one of those guys that would make you go to the TV.
He's good looking and well spoken, which is typically what you want. But
I don't normally worry about good looking with my TV analyst, but okay.
But that's what networks want, not us individually.
What's the first thing you said?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, well, that's what, if you're looking at the networks themselves,
you're right.
That's what
they sells.
Want.
He markets. Correct. He gets women to the TV.
Yes, correct. And you have that, which is
just
typically. Yeah, I know. I trust me, I get enough of that. It's a market itself is it untapped? I know there's some, there's not a ton of women that watch the NFL on Sunday, correct? That's not a sexist statement. That's just a...
I don't know. I think it's more than you think.
Comparatively to men, right?
We know this. A lot of people think women don't listen to this radio show, and we know better. We know about the calls and the text and the social media interaction we get.
I think it's just when you compare the two, right? Like it's... I think the NFL...
I don't think it's 50-50 like a lot of things.
70-30?
I don't know. Somebody out there has this metric, but I think it's more than you realize, and whether it's 33%... 30%, 25%, it's a big number, whatever it is. There's a lot of women that watch, and particularly in the home markets, love the NFL.
So if you had to pay, all right, let's think about this, because CBS, they're sticking with their number one duo, which is Nance and Romo. Romo just got paid, as Tommy mentioned, 17 mil. So think about the other. They're probably not going to, who's their two slot on Sundays? Their two slot, CBS, is that Ian Eagle and whoever he's paired with?
I thought it was Gumbel, but.
Okay, who are that? Is he with Trent Green? Is that who he's paired with? I think, okay, so
this is a good Ruskin question. Ruskin would know the answer without even looking it up.
CBS is probably not going to pay for both Romo and Brady. Now, they might, but I wouldn't think they would. So
no,
Fox, it's Buck and Aikman. They're probably not going to break up that duo, right? Would you break up Troy Aikman and Joe Buck for Brady and Buck?
Listen, the only loyalty that any of these people have is to ratings and dollars. And dollars equal ratings. If you thought Tom Brady could get X million more people to the TV, Troy, we love you, but we're moving you to the two team.
So ESPN would take it in a heartbeat because, as reported by multiple different outlets, they've been going all in on Peyton Manning.
Right. Booger McFarlane, Tom Brady. That's an easy one.
It's been I love Booger in the studio. I thought he was fantastic, and he's good in a radio interview. He's terrible in the booth. He's awful. So, and
he wasn't even good on the cart on the sideline.
Yeah, the Booger Mobile, as people call it. I love Gruden, and I love Tirico. I thought they were a great pairing, and they reportedly didn't like each other, but I thought that was a great pairing. And then you move into Joe Tess, Booger, and Witten, and that was a disaster because Witten was terrible as well. Now, Joe Tess, as a college football guy, I love Joe Tess, and he's a nice guy. I've met him several times, but he just doesn't scream NFL to me. But
Tom Brady's never going to do TV. My point was, he could get as much money doing TV and not play, not get hit, not have, you know, a defensive end taking shots at your rib.
Sure, Giselle would like that.
Yeah.
To not see her husband get crushed every other play.
That's my point is, this is how bad he wants to continue to play. He could get paid just as much money to not play.
So,
but I think when he's done, he rides off into the sunset.
So you don't see him doing that. How much do you think
need to?
Is the
not that any of these guys need to, but some of these guys, he doesn't strike me as the guy that he's always been very private about his life, private about
the moat around his house, stuff like that.
All of that stuff. He's very. Would you say he's a private individual?
Yeah, and he doesn't present like Peyton Manning is a. I forget who made this comparison. Peyton Manning is a Budweiser drinking good old boy.
Well, I mean he does Buick commercials.
Yeah,
he does insurance commercials. Manning does all kinds of ways to keep his brand and his self out
nationwide.
There. Nationwide. How many Tom Brady commercials you see?
And he's an Uggs.
Now, there was the one in the Super Bowl, but there's not very many.
But he's an Uggs uppity guy. Like he's the country club going.
He's a
like,
guy married to a model guy.
Yeah. Peyton Manning gives off more of the everyday American vibe. And that maybe they're not like that personally. Maybe the complete opposite. That's just the...
No, but perception's reality.
Perception is... Yeah, exactly. Perception is everything. I'm just wondering with Brady. Like, I know Brady does a spot either on the Sports Hub or the other... What's the other radio station in WEII?
WEII.
WEII. He does a weekly spot with those guys, and I'm forgetting which station is. I wonder how much he's paid for that. And how much he could ask for a 15-minute radio spot.
You can ask as much as the... I mean, you got to get that sponsored. I mean, they're not going to lose money on it. No, your point's right.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.